Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another podcast episode. I'm your host, Jeff Rediger. I'm going to introduce my guest co-host here in a second. This is replacing Wall Street with Main Street. My mission is to educate each of you out there on what you need to be prepared for in your financial world during your active years of employment and retirement. And I interview financial advocates, financial professionals across the country on different subjects that pertain to each of you. And the big one that has come up this year, and I think maybe because of the pandemic, it may be a lot of issues going on, but completing your will and trust is very important in this day and age. 80% of those that we've surveyed through our company have responded with their wills either outdated or they haven't completed it at all. So with that being said, today, I've invited licensed financial fiduciary Ken Ornstein to be my guest. And Ken, I want to thank you for joining me on this important topic.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate being here.
Well, before we get into completing your will and trust and the key decisions that need to be made to implement those important documents, let's give the audience a little background on you. Your planning firm, your affiliations, your target audience. Could you share with those listening a little bit about your practice?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So I am what's known as a licensed financial fiduciary, which means I'm held to a higher legal standard than, say, your average stockbroker or advisor. I represent a number of nonprofits that have contracts with the federal government to provide for both federal as well as state employees retirement and investment advisory services. I've been doing that for about half a decade, if not longer at this point.
And one of the key areas why I wanted to have you on is because you and I have talked about this more than once, is you're in full agreement with the stat I threw out there a few minutes ago about 80% of those we've talked to that don't have their will and trust in order. And that's an area you focus a lot on when you're dealing with your clients and any new potential clients that come into your firm, correct?
I see it a lot in my individual telephone consultations with state and federal employees. Not only a lot of times they don't have a will, they haven't updated beneficiary designations. Very, very important. I mean, the average state or federal employee started working for their respective governmental agency, say, 20 or more years ago. They might have been single, they might have been married, but married to somebody who now is an ex-spouse. Maybe they had a brother or a sister as a beneficiary initially, and now they're no longer talking. Unfortunately, it does happen in family dynamics. They're no longer talking to that individual sibling, and they've yet to update to current benefit with the proper beneficiary designations. It can cause very adverse problems down the road.
Well, and one of the, as we get into these questions, you know, some of the feedback we get is it's just overwhelming, it's complicated and confusing. And what I try to share, and you agree with this, it doesn't have to be. So there's five key decisions that need to be made when implementing a basic will and trust. So let me share these with you, and you can shed some light on how to handle these questions and help the audience. So number one, who will manage the money when somebody dies?
Okay, and just to step back a second, I know these topics and all retirement investment decisions can be very complex. I pride myself on taking the complex and trying to make it more easily digestible. And the wills and the trusts are not any different. So the question, who will manage my money when I die, very individualistic. You know, we get into it on, you know, in an individual consultation, but in broad strokes, ideally you're going to pick a trusted family member, be it a spouse, a sibling, you know, or some other family member. And if one's not available, ultimately it can be a trusted advisor.
So then let's elaborate that, on that a little more. So, you have somebody that you've assigned. So where does the money go in a trust or will? How does that process work? How do you make that decision?
Okay, so that's very important, and not just money, the assets, all belongings of the, I'm going to call the client. Okay, ideally they're going to go where the client would have wanted the money to go, whether it be brokerage accounts, cash, a watch collection, or some other piece of real estate, whatever the case may be. Now, there are two components to help facilitate that. Everybody knows the simple will, okay? Everybody knows a will avoids probate. Not everybody knows what probate is, but it's basically getting tied up in the legal system longer than you would want to if you were going through probate. So a will, think of it as a wish list. I like to joke and call it, you're sending your teenage son or grandchild to the supermarket and your grocery list says pick up broccoli and milk. It's a teenager, they come back with ice cream and potato chips. Right. That is the problem of a will. It's nothing but a wish list. Now, I have to say, having a simple will is much better than having nothing, okay? You have to have a will, otherwise the government will write a will for you, and nobody wants that. In conjunction with the will, we like the revocable, so you have total control over it, living trust. It's a reinforcement to the will, so the client has better, there's better chances of having the individual's wishes actually come through.
Yeah. It's directing your wishes from the grave. Instead of having the government.
You said it much better than me, but yes, that's what I was striving for.
Yeah. Okay. So another question that needs to be addressed, and this is, who's going to take care of minor children? And I'd like to throw a caveat onto that because I'm personally, my wife and I are dealing with taking care of elderly parents. So those that are dependent upon you, how is that, who's going to take care of those people, those family members that are dependent upon you, God forbid something happens?
Ideally, the individual, the client, will have trusted family members, trusted friends, persons, or people over the age of 18 that they could tap upon to help them. In lieu of that, and sometimes we do have to get governmental agencies and guardianships involved, but, hopefully that would not be the case.
And then who's going to make medical decisions? Let's say somebody's incapacitated. How's that process handled?
A very important document to consider when an individual is developing their will and trust is the medical power of attorney or directive. And basically what that document does, let's say I'm the client and I become sick, hurt, I'm unable to communicate my wishes and, talk about my medical care. You're going to be naming an individual to make medical decisions for you.
Okay. And then on the same incapacitated subject, if somebody's physically, mentally incapacitated, what about financial decisions?
There's another document similar to the medical directive known as the financial power of attorney or directive, where ahead of time, while the individual is cognizant and able to make, you know, sound decisions, they name an individual in the event of their incapacitation to handle their finances and all their financial decisions. These are all very, very important documents that individuals should have in place.
So let's talk about that a minute. So you're not an attorney.
No.
You don't even play one on TV.
No. I do work with attorneys. I advise attorneys, but no, I am not a licensed attorney.
So you are a facilitator, and as a fiduciary, and if some of you out there don't understand that definition, we've done podcasts within the last couple of months. We've done a podcast specifically on what a financial fiduciary is, and kin is one. And I always recommend you need to find a fiduciary. So your role is to help facilitate the will and trust, working with estate planning attorneys. And the advantage you have is that there is a software of will and trust documents that estate planning attorneys have basically formatted in a portal similar to TurboTax for your tax work, and you help facilitate this. So the advantage Ken brings to the table is that he can help facilitate, get this done, and really help be the admin to get these legal documents that the attorneys put together in force. Is that correct?
That is correct in the respective state, because I do this on a national basis.
Right.
In the respective state in which the governmental employee resides. I mean, I've worked, I've done this in a number of different ways. I mean, when I started doing this, I would just find a local attorney and, you know, forward the client to them. And then I find either it doesn't get done, and that's terrible, or I found such a vast array of different price points, all way more expensive than the client could have had it done using a different avenue. So that didn't work. And then I started using, I'm not going to name names, but I used another software where it was glitchy. I couldn't really lend a lot of help or assistance, and I didn't get good feedback. Now, the newest software package that we're utilizing, Legacy Lock, I could actually be instrumental in getting this done, you know, these documents done for a client at a fair price point.
And nine times out of 10, it's going to be less if it's the basic will and trust and what they would be charged, unless it's a family member as an attorney, if they go find an attorney on their own.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So what we're doing is we're helping solve problems, take something that's perceived to be complicated and confusing, simplifying it, and put you in touch with a financial fiduciary that is, you know, ethically is gonna help make sure this is done in your best interest. That's what a fiduciary is. So, great information, and I want to thank you for taking the time today to share that with our audience.
Oh, excellent! Thank you.
So if somebody listening and they say, you know what, I'd like to talk to Ken, there's no cost to have a consultation with you. How do they get a hold of you?
You could call me on my national toll-free number and leave a detailed message, because I'm usually in telephone consultations. And that number is 1-888-315-3608. Again, 1-888-315-3608.
Okay. And then if you would like a complimentary booklet on understanding the importance of a basic will and trust, it's a great 26-page booklet, and it explains as to why, if you have an asset, you should consider completing a will and trust package with somebody like Ken and the estate planning firms behind him. You can give us a call at 888-545-8840. Let us know that you attended this podcast. We'll get you in touch with Ken, and we'll get that booklet out. So that's also something we're offering. All right. So Ken and I are going to focus a series on helping the government employees as they prepare for retirement. And so you're going to want to look for the next episode to drop. And what is the next episode? We talked about a checklist for pre-retirement for government employees, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so you go through, what is it, 3 years?
What I like to do when I do this in my initial telephone consultation with a governmental employee, the 3 years before retirement and the 3 years after are the most crucial as far as decision making. And I go into much greater detail on a consultation. Okay. But I think for our next podcast, what we ought to do, what I think would be very beneficial, why don't we look at everything a governmental employee should be thinking about once they're 3 years or less, because I have people calling me up that they're retiring in about 2 months. You know, yeah. They think they have plenty of time. I mean, spoiler alert, they really don't. But anyway, why don't we do a podcast, everything a governmental employee should be thinking about once they're 3 years or less from full separation from service, which is just a fancy way of saying retirement.
That sounds like a great topic, and we will go through a checklist. So government employees out there, look for the next episode to drop. Ken and I will be discussing what you need to prepare for 3 years prior to retirement. That's what Ken does.
Or less.
So that's what Ken does, and we're here to help each of you. So, all right. Well, very informative. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, this concludes our session today. Look for upcoming sessions. We're out on 14 different networks, and we're here to help each of you be educated so that you make good decisions prior and during your retirement years. Thank you very much.